Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is the 5th of November now, Bonfire Night in Britain. It could be in America as well, where it's Election Day, of course. Hold on to your bonnets and assume the brace position. Let us know where your nerves are. WhatsApp is 087-032-3232 from all 32 counties on the island, and email us oliver@rte.ie and follow the show on Spotify as well. Now we have a lovely show for you today. If immigration is the issue that's going to decide America's future today, then what are our attitudes towards the matter here? We've two teachers who have personal stories that they want to share with you and direct your attention towards and express compassion for. And also, Nathan Carter is going to be live in studio. He's launching his new range of fashion for fellas, carterclothing.ie, so that you can rock your mama and get swiped right, I presume, is the vibe they're going for. Now, that Guy Fawkes nursery rhyme for today is very appropriate for the now times. Remember, remember, the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. Maybe. We don't know, because we're into the mists of the ultimate unknown. And for all the talk about democracy under threat and the Republican claims of stolen elections in January 6, 2021, it kind of looks pretty good right now. Two-thirds of the voting eligible population of the US turned out in that 2020 presidential election. It was the highest rate of any election over there since 1900. And today looks set to break that record. Early voting's at a record high, which means that American citizens really do believe their votes matter and that they do actually get counted fairly and squarely. How's it going? Well, it's so tight that even the famous election predictors are actually feuding online about who might be right. Alan Lichtman and Nate Silver are very, very well-known pollsters, predictors, and they are locked in criticism of each other's past forecasts, kind of going at it like owl fellas in a bookies, three whiskies to the wind. But in the last days of actually the 2016 campaign, a Democratic Congresswoman, Debbie Dingell, she said she could tell Trump was going to shock and win Michigan. And so the Washington Post checked in with her on Sunday night after she spent the whole weekend campaigning in the swing state of Michigan. And she said she still thought the race is tight, but she described herself as nauseously optimistic. That has become the phrase of these closing days for Democrats. Nauseously optimistic. What a description. And the reliable poll that found, you know, that senior women voters in Iowa are thinking of voting for Harris and has moved the hunches in the direction of the vice president, because that's all you have now is a hunch. And so the US media, the mainstream media, particularly leaning Harris anyway, are now more confidently talking of the chances of another Trump defeat. So this could be the election when the world finally notices older women for just one afternoon. The Golden Girls putting down their nightcap gins, they sighed and said, "It looks like we'll have to put the garbage out ourselves, ladies, and into that good night we will not gently go. But at the ballot box, burn and rave at the close of day," to mangle a bit of Dylan Thomas for you this morning. It is at least finally coming to an end. Here's Jimmy Kimmel overnight.
We are now one day away from having to wait another week to find out who won the election. It feels like the whole country is waiting to get the results of a biopsy. Almost 2 years ago, on November 15, 2022, former President Donald Trump officially declared himself to be a candidate for president again. And now, 720 days, 88 criminal charges, 34 felony convictions, 4 indictments, 2 Democratic opponents, and 1 garbage truck later, here we are. Election day.
Election day. One of the most measured and balanced of those late night show comedians is Bill Maher. And like ourselves here, he's been poking fun at Harris's campaign to keep the objectivity flowing. And he had a really good line as he summed up the troubles of Kamala's campaign and this entire election.
Things aren't that bad, but they might get a hell of a lot worse under the rule of a mad king. Do I love everything about Kamala? No. Who told you you get to love everything? Do I wish she came up with a better reason to be president than I'm not Trump? Yeah, it would have been very helpful. But let's not forget, I'm not Trump, is still a really great reason.
And so we're into it. We don't know what's going to happen. There's lots of coverage here, of course. Tonight there's an extended late debate, 10 p.m. until 1 in the morning. Presenter Colm O'Mungon will be chatting to reporters across America, and reporter Una Kelly will be live from that swing state of Michigan as the results come in there. That's going to be one of the early kind of signs of where the evening and the overnight will be going. It'll be evening and prime time in America, of course, at that stage between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. And the polls will be closing in swing state after swing state. Then Audrey Carville is going to be live on Morning Ireland from Washington. It'll be 6 a.m. here. It'll be 1 a.m. where Audrey will be. So she'll be kind of doing more of a lock-in than even the two Johnnies. And that's where we are. And there are lots of guides, the Irish Independent Online and the Irish Times, both giving indications of how they're planning their election night, and not to expect too much to happen too soon, because the last battleground state will be closing at 3 a.m. That's our time in Nevada, which was one of the slowest states to count last time. But look, it is coming to an end. The 2024 election, in summary, we'll have a look at it here. Pull up a stool for a couple of minutes and I'll play my jingle for you and everything. I might have only one more chance to do so.
The dogs, they're eating the cats.
We're effectively run in this country by a bunch of childless cat ladies.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
And I'm a knucklehead at times.
They're eating the pets.
And we're gonna do it again in 2024.
I'm not a big fan of sharks.
Me neither. Okay, the whole thing in summary, Donald Trump's campaign, he had two thwarted assassins, a threat from Iran. He worked at McDonald's where he discovered for the first time they don't put the fries in the box by hand. He said Kamala decided to become black. He says Democrats want to do abortions at 9 months, take kids from schools to give them sex change operations. He said Ohio immigrants are eating the dogs and cats, as you heard, also the geese. He threatened the US military and elected American opponents. He joked about Liz Cheney and journalists getting shot. This is all true, by the way. He wants to deport millions of people. He farted at a rally, pulled a young woman towards him for a kiss, talked about a dead golfer's penis, danced for 39 minutes at a town hall Q&A where he took few cues, but he did dance his A off. And to his credit, it is the most exercise he's done since he walked next to Melania at his inauguration a couple of years ago, tried to take her hand. She swatted his tiny digits away, but he burned 5 calories in shame that day and he hasn't sweated since. He says he'll blame the Jews if he doesn't win. And it's worth repeating the very specific literal threat to put the military on elected Democrats he doesn't like if he wins. And yet, at least half of all Americans who vote are going to do so for him, in full knowledge of everything. His campaign slogan should be, sell crazy someplace else, we're all stocked up here. And if you vote for Donald, America gets funneled. Fondled, even. That's the red corner, okay? Kamala Harris's campaign, in summary, she was endorsed by Oprah and Bruce Springsteen, but also by Dick Cheney, who's shot his friend in the face and started a war that killed 1 million people. She said her campaign was about joy until it was about calling Trump a fascist. Then she said, ignore all her principles from a couple of months ago because that was ages ago. And now she's willing to shoot an intruder with her Glock. Again, exact quote. She wants to frack Pennsylvania with fossil fuel fangs until it's more like Transylvania. Kamala says she doesn't know what she would do differently from Joe Biden, who left the race because of his mental decline. But she says she didn't notice his mental decline, which makes you wonder whether she's also on that Biden slide. She says she wants a closed border and help small business owners, but doesn't have any details for any of that. She said she will cap the price of groceries. But when asked, why didn't she do any of this while you're in office? Maybe, you know, sneak in during the many years the president had forgotten where he was, or while he was distracted watching Rob Carney defeat the Black and Tans. She answers in word salads where even the croutons are as hollow as her words. She has 3 times more money than Trump's campaign, the blessing of everyone in Hollywood except for some of the old angry people, and the backing of virtually all the biggest forces in print and broadcast media. And yet even now, she was only neck and neck with Trump, because everyone remembers that for those 3.5 years as Veep, she had the lowest approval ratings of the office ever. She was even less popular than Mike Pence, is a man who doesn't cast any shadow. And that made her about as popular as hailstones in a birthday bouncy castle. But Donald Trump is so repulsive to too many people that they want to believe against their instincts and the evidence that she will be absolutely great as a president. And that's why her campaign slogan should be, the lights are off, but there's nobody home. Vote vacuous, vote Harris. Let's face it, both of these campaigns were kind of poor enough in the end. But at least kind of Trump's plans are very clear. Because based on the talking points at his rallies, he wants to return to office in a wave of immigrant phobia and get a penis enlargement. I think that's roughly what it was. Maybe jail some democratically elected people along the way. But his fans say he's joking about that, but we've never seen him laugh. And there's that cliche, isn't there, that you campaign in poetry, but govern in prose, which if you apply it to Trump means he campaigns in garbage but will govern in carnage. Whereas Kamala campaigned as slippery and she'll govern in frippery. Made the best millionaire who spent 100 days obsessed with Pennsylvania but who will stop thinking about it immediately tonight for another 4 years. May they win control over the reins of the United States of election. And now you're completely up to date.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
We're effectively run in this country by a bunch of childless cat ladies.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
And I'm a knucklehead at times.
They're eating the pets.
And we're going to do it again in 2024.
No, I'm not a big fan of sharks.
No, not a big fan of sharks. They're out of a lecture. You're up to date entirely, and let's see what happens. Now, to bring us back home. Yes, this is a nice story about Barry Keoghan. He was on Louis Theroux's podcast. You like Louis Theroux's podcast? Really, really good. He always gets a good rapport with people, and he had a bit of crack with Barry Keoghan. But there was a serious chat as well, and Barry was talking about the impact his upbringing had on him, which is well known to us, maybe not so much to the British and American followers following Louis Theroux. But he said, of course, childhood is going to affect me being a father, which he is now, because he had no blueprint to take from. And he just said, you know, sometimes people read it as laziness and go, that's no excuse to be an absent father, and says, I'm not an absent father. But again, people love to use my son as ammunition. And it kind of leads me to stop. The more attention I've got lately and the more in public I've become, the less I've posted about his child, because I don't think it's fair to put his child online. So Barry Keoghan is from Summerhill. He went on to talk about his neighbour around the corner on Portland Row, Kelly Harrington, and what they might be chatting about and talking about what they were going to do in the future for the area that they both grew up in. I think it's an inspiring wee chat.
We have, you know, Kelly Harrington, who won gold twice now in the Olympics for boxing. Like, we have people like that that just inspires young kids. And you got, like, a lot of good people as well that have made it out. But there's not a big opportunity there. And I want to go back and set up some sort of a youth club, you know, and employ people from around the area and set up some classes. And not only for acting, but, like, you know, me and Kelly have discussed about maybe doing boxing and acting and other stuff that kind of give kids a chance to go to this place and, you know, after school and have some food. And if they want to work on, you know, being a stylist or just kind of nurture that and kind of let them see that there's a chance for that as well.
Giving back the pair of them, Barry Keoghan and Kelly Harrington. That's the Louis Theroux podcast, which is out at the moment. 51551 is also available for the text. By the way, we have a WhatsApp in here saying, Donald Trump has invested in Ireland. The Irish media has been shameless in its lies and anti-Trump rhetoric. Shame on you, says that message. That gives you a flavour of, it comes in at me from both sides. So surely that's a good thing when the Kamala fans are equally as angry as the Trump fans in Ireland. And they won't stop because it's going to be a very, very busy week.